Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
Success equals obedience. That's what success is. And see, we think if we obey God and something fails, that we have failed. You succeeded when you obeyed. You're too caught up saying, well, what if it doesn't happen like I think it's supposed to happen and people don't know me and notice me and it's not successful? In whose eyes?
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is unlike anyone else, where he shares the life-changing message of the gospel in a way that's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. We know that life is pretty challenging these days, but these talks will help you meet those challenges head-on with biblical truth, encouragement, and direction. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellis.com. So, let's jump right in with today's talk. Here is Richard Ellis.
We're doing a series called God at Work. Today we're going to do customer service. All right, let's start with this story. A small deer came into my camp and stole my jar of pickles. Is there a way I can get reimbursed? Please call. And they left a phone number. Now this one can't be serious. Escalators would help on steep uphill sections. This person should not be outdoors. The places where trails do not exist are not well marked. You should never hike and drink alcohol at the same time. I brought lots of sandwich makings but forgot bread. If you have extra bread, leave it in the yellow tent at V Lake. And here's the last one. Too many rocks in the mountains. All right, here's another customer service story. I work for a department store. I was helping out at the customer service desk one day in July when a man came in dragging behind him a tree. It was one of those artificial trees that comes with the fake burlap sack on the bottom. I noticed the burlap sack was all dirty and moldy. He wanted to return the tree because he had planted it in March and it had not grown at all, and he was very upset. I almost burst into laughter when I explained that it was an artificial tree. Much to his embarrassment, he left without a refund. Now here's one, a true story from a customer service line. How many of y'all work in any kind of customer service? You know, like there are websites dedicated to this, and I almost thought I'd pass the mic around and let you tell the stories, because the stuff that people come up with is absolutely mind-boggling. Now here's one, a brief one. A lady rang up and said she was having problems with her printer. When asked if she ran it under Windows, she replied, "No, but that makes perfect sense, because the guy next to me has his under the window and it works fine." All right, I'm going to tell you one other true story that I just remembered. Now, this is absolutely the truth. At Disney World, the number one question asked at Disney World, off the charts above anything else, if you go visit Disney World, do their whole leadership training course, the number one hands down question is this, and these people are trained. Every employee is trained to smile and very graciously answer the question. But here's the question. What time is the 3 o'clock parade? That is the number one question. And everybody is trained to just say, well, I'm very glad you asked. The 3 o'clock parade is at 3 o'clock right here on Main Street. And then you just go on and they say, I'm telling you, if you take a bunch of kids to Disney World, you're not coherent anyway. So things like that should make a lot of sense don't make sense. Now, let me kind of shift here and let's dive in and see what customer service has to do with God or the Bible or anything like that. Believe it or not, there is a lot of customer service in Christianity. And the way Christianity works, and I'll add the church to this process, is that there are people out there. There are people here today. You've come to hear something. You were bribed. So you're here. And if you are way out on the fringe or you feel that way and you're searching for God, in a lot of ways, you are the customer. You're a new customer if you're approaching Christianity from this deal. And so you're kind of, it's like walking into a new store. It's like walking into a new mall or somewhere. And you really don't know much about it, but you're curious. You want to look around. You don't want to go in any shops. Maybe you just want to walk through and check the place out. Sometimes the worst customer service departments on the planet are at churches. And we say that we are about the quote-unquote customer, but there is no service. And the whole thing, frankly, guys, is about serving. It is all about service. And there is a time when you can be the customer. But all of Christianity moves toward service, making you the customer service. Now, if you are at church, for instance, if you're involved in a church, and all you do is call the customer service line complaining, and you're doing nothing about changing the situation, they're not the problem completely. You are part of the problem. Because if you're just sitting on your backside making these calls, complaining, yakking at the church, saying, well, I don't like this, I don't like that, do something about it. Get involved. Be a part of the solution. Get on the other end of the phone where when someone comes in and really needs help, because a lot of times what people are calling to complain about is just stupid stuff. It has nothing to do with God, really. It has nothing to do with church. It's just some inconvenience or inconsequential thing that you've got, you know, a burr in your saddle over. Well, probably enough said in that category. So you can come into a situation where you need that service. But guys, you've got to move toward being the customer service department, where you are serving, where you are answering these questions and taking care of people. Let me give you one example. A lady showed up at our church, and she told me this story. She's been there ever since. She went to some church. She had been there for a while, and no one would speak to this lady. And finally, she woke up. She was so frustrated, somebody invited her to come visit our church, and I'm not saying we've got all this figured out, but she said, okay, I'm going to go. She said, literally prayed, God, I'm going to go to my church one more time, and if one person will speak to me, I'll stay. So she went to church and found the welcome desk, and she stood by the welcome desk. She did everything in her power to make it where somebody would say something and it'd be okay. She went, she stood by the welcome desk, and no one spoke to this woman. And she left. Now, guys, that's a disaster. And you say, well, you know, the phrase is, the customer is always right. Now, I don't really believe that. They're usually wrong. But anyhow, even if the customer is not technically right, there is a gracious way to say, you're right or wrong. Now, I'm one of these people, if I call somebody or I go to a place, if I go into a restaurant and the service is not right, I don't call complaining, I call making observations, because I've been a business owner, and sometimes the people who own the business have no idea what's going on in the business. I'm a big Whataburger guy. I recommend the 32-ounce shake, which has gone, I think it's gone to a 44-ounce shake, which is kind of a tricky thing, but it's still good. But I went to a Whataburger somewhere over some part of Dallas, and I'm telling you, this place, they might not even know it exists. It's just the worst thing that ever happened. So I get in there, the milkshakes are watered down, the help is rude. I mean, I don't know where they got these people, what was going on, but I finally got out of there and just gave up. They tried twice on the shakes, and you got kids and they're hot, and I'm pretty patient, but not when they're messing my milkshakes up. So I just got out of there finally and kind of regrouped. You just kind of, what was that? And I called the 800 number. And of course you get somebody that they're in, they're usually not getting somebody saying nice things, which I'll do both. If something's great, I'll call them. But I called, I said, look, I don't know what you got going. Here's the store number, the address. I'm down the street. I got away from it where I could call you, you know, and just said, this is going on, and let them know. Those people have to be gracious. They've got to take all this heat. It's a hard thing. I don't know how you customer service people do it. And at church, in a church office, you get all these incoming calls. I mean, it's unbelievable what can come in. And to be gracious with someone who may be wrong or someone who's right and they're really upset. And if you've been in that spot when you're really upset, I mean, I've watched this already today. I've seen a parking attendant thing happen with a whole parking ticket. That's a whole, you have to have prayer for that. But anyhow, to be that or get one. But there is a way to handle people. And you have to be either trained or very mature to know how to do that and deal with someone's problem and move them and help them kind of get down to the next step. And people, non-Christians, they don't know. And a lot of times churches assume that everybody knows. Somebody walks in the door. I mean, I've had homeless people tell me about churches they go to, and they walk in and they've got the best thing they've got on, and someone literally comes up, their customer service representative comes up to them and says, sir, I'm sorry, you know, you're probably going to need to find another church. And you think this isn't happening, guys. I'm telling you, it's all the time. And people walk in, they don't smell right. We have people show up at church drunk. You know what? I'd rather have them there drunk than at home drunk. They're trying. And we go, oh my gosh. We got a guy that runs to church. That's how it's his deal. He runs 20 minutes, he jogs to church, he sits in the balcony, we have a smoking and a sweating section so he can... Now, don't you people be coming to church smoking and say, well, you said I could smoke. I'm sure I'm in the... That's not what burnt offering means, by the way. So this guy, he runs, he sits there. I'm sure he's sweating. You know what? He sits there, he does things, and he's out of there. I don't give a rip. The guy's in the building. This isn't a fashion show. This isn't some kind of fill out an application or turn in your financial statement and we'll let you stay. If you were part of a church, just try going this week and say, you know what, God, and it's not about me. I'm going to be customer service today. And I'm going to find somebody I've never seen before. And I'm going to go make sure that person is okay. And everybody in here knows what it's like to go to kindergarten the first time. You're terrified. Sixth grade, ninth grade, college. You're somebody and then you're nobody. And you're somebody and you're nobody. You get all locked into your job and you're somebody and you get fired or laid off or you change, you go somewhere else and you're nobody. And you don't know anybody. And when somebody comes by your cubicle, and you know, there's internal customer service. And it's not just up to human resources. And you call yourself a believer, get out there, do some customer service. How are you? Can I help you? That's the men's room, not the ladies' room. You might want to go in there, you know, simple things. Just helpful little hints that people need. You can be gracious instead of just hiding out and saying, well, good luck. I had to find out the hard way. So do you. Hope you last, you know. All right, now let me read you some verses because this stuff's in the Bible. This is in Matthew chapter 20. And it's interesting to me, we all want to be somebody. Have you seen the commercial on TV of all the little kids? I want to grow up and shovel dirt the rest of my life. And they all go through what they're dreaming about doing. I want to grow up and, you know, work in the mailroom forever. You know, they're not going anywhere. It's showing that everybody wants to end up somewhere. We want to be somebody. But Jesus shows us in Matthew 20, how do you end up really being somebody? Now listen to this. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons and kneeling down asked something from him. And I think this is very interesting. Mom bringing two boys, she gets down on her knees. Jesus. And she's not praying, she's begging. She gets down, she's in the right position. And he said to her, what do you want? You know, like, what are you doing down there? What are we doing here? What do you want? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. And this is, I don't want to go, this is parenthetical, but did you know scripturally Jesus is left-handed? He has to be because he's seated on the right hand of the Father. So, you know, roll the tape back. Let's cut that out. You try them here. If they don't work, you just don't use them. All right, keep going with me. Scratch that. I want these two sons, one on my right hand, one on the left. But Jesus answered and said, you don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm about to be baptized with? And they said to him, yes, sir, we're able. When mama's right there on her knees, what are you going to say? Yeah, that's right. We can do whatever you say. Mom got us here. We got to go with it. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but is for those for whom is prepared by my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, so you got mom brings the two boys, the boys getting this thing, everybody else is upset. You know, what is their mother thinking? Who are you? There's just two of you. You know, he's only got a right hand, a left hand. Where are we going to sit? You know, where are we going to sit? It's about where are we going to sit? And it turns out, if you read in Revelation, these guys' names are written on the foundation slabs of heaven. It ain't about sitting somewhere. They were going to be somebody. They were somebody. And they are somebody. But they're all worried about where are we going to sit. And he said, it isn't about sitting. It's about serving. We don't have thrones at our church. Y'all know what thrones are? I don't want to go off on this too much, but now we're already going, so here we go. We don't have these chairs up on a platform. You know why? We got one king. So I get down there with everybody else and wait till it's my turn to stand up at the box, and I get out of there. I don't want to be separate from anybody. I'm telling you guys, we've gotten this so screwy. Churches turned into robes and clothes and shoes and hats and all this stuff. You say, well, I'm wearing a hat because I'm supposed to have my head covered. I got a bag in the car you can put on your head. All right, now look what he answers to them. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know, listen to what he says to these 12 guys, and mama's listening probably. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And this word lorded over is not a humble thing. It's like dictating what goes on. And those who are great exercise authority over them. And if you look these words up, and I'm not going to track this today, but these are words of to wield power. You got somebody you work for that it's all about power? They're in control. They're the boss. I tell you the thing, I don't even have my vocabulary. If I hear this, somebody's just gone. These words, it's not my job. Ugh, I can hardly say those words. You show me something that the boss can't do or is not willing to do, I'll show you a company in trouble. You show me a preacher who can't sweep and vacuum and do whatever he has to do, that church is in trouble because somebody is setting an example. Someone is saying you either serve or you sit. And Jesus summed it up here with this. Yet it shall not be so among you. He says, that's how they do it. That's not how I do it or how we're going to do it. But whoever desires to become great among you, you want to be great? You want to sit somewhere? Then you got to serve. If you desire to be great, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. He took it from servant to slave. Servant's one thing. Somebody waiting tables, that's one thing. But when you own someone and they have no rights but to just serve, to do what they're told, he says, you want to be great, then you be a servant. You want to be first, then you be last. You be a slave. And whoever desires to be first, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, you want to change the world, be a servant. Now, I'm not talking about working for God. There are a lot of people get this screwed up and say, okay, if I do all these things for God, then he's going to throw me a bone or I'm going to get into heaven. My good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, and that's what's going to work. This is about getting into a relationship with God to begin with, understanding Jesus died and that's your only hope. He died a ransom. He paid your bill. So he died, was buried, raised from the dead, shed his blood to give you a ticket into heaven. So you got the ticket, you're in. That's done. Now he says, what are we going to do between here and heaven? He says, you're going to serve. And there's too many churches and Christians out there sitting on their backside waiting for somebody to do something for them. You know what? Get off your butt and you do something. That didn't go over big either. And see, you know, Christianity, I know I'm going to die and go to heaven, but it just doesn't work for me. You know why? Because you're not doing anything with it, maybe. Get out of the way. Get last. Get down. Humble yourself. Let God lift you up. Do something. Do something nobody else will do. Be a servant. You say, well, it's not fun. Let me tell you something. There is more joy in serving than being served every day of the week. Ritz-Carlton Hotels. You ask any employee, any Ritz-Carlton hotel you go into, they have to have this card on their person, and they have to be able to quote their mission statement as a hotel, or they get fired, I think, on the second time for not knowing it. But their mission statement, briefly, is this. Ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. So you behave as a lady and a gentleman, and you serve ladies and gentlemen who come in. You say, but I got rights. Let me tell you something. Your rights went out the window when Jesus died. You have the right to call him Lord. And when he's Lord, that makes me a slave. That makes me a servant. And I am lucky and blessed to even be that. You say, well, I don't like this. Well, I didn't write this. I just work here. You say, well, nobody's going to know who I am. I'm not going to be somebody. It depends on who you want to be somebody in front of and where you want to be somebody. I mean, I grew up around preachers who wanted to be somebody, and I thought that was the answer. If he thinks you're somebody, you're somebody. I told a guy yesterday, we have all this stuff about success out there. Let me give you my definition, and I'll tweak it a little bit. Let's say God tells you to start a business or do something, whatever it may be. He tells you to do it, you pray, you fast, whatever you know to do, and you are positive that you are doing exactly what God told you to do, and you do it, and it fails. Are you a success? Success equals obedience. That's what success is. And see, we think if we obey God and something fails, that we have failed. You succeeded when you obeyed. You're too caught up saying, well, what if it doesn't happen like I think it's supposed to happen and people don't know me and notice me and it's not successful? In whose eyes? You say, well, my marriage is a failure, but you're still married and hanging in there. You know what? You're a success. Whether your marriage ever works or not, you obeyed. You did what God told you to do, not what everybody else said. Oh, get out. Go find somebody else. If you are a believer, especially, guys, you are moving somewhere, hopefully, from being served. It's like going into a restaurant and you love the food and you keep going back. And finally, you find the manager and say, you know what? I just love this place. could I like help out here a little bit? And you know, you're and you're eating and helping out, and pretty soon he goes, wow, you like this place a lot. Don't you? Say, yeah, I'd like to come to work here. And you came in on this side of the counter, and it was all said and done. You're over here, hey, how are you guys? Can I serve you, sir? Isn't that interesting? That's what they say in the line at the Luby's. Serve you, sir? You know why? They're servants. That's their job. And there's too many people going into churches saying, well, you're supposed to be serving me. I wrote a check. I don't like this service here. Isn't that an interesting word? Did you like the service today? No, the music wasn't good today. I didn't like the service. You know what makes that thing a service? Is have people in it who are serving. That's what makes it a service. And ultimately, as you read the scriptures, it isn't about us anyway. It's about Him. It's whether we're serving Him. And too many people go to church trying to get something out of it and don't want to put anything into it. Well, the preacher wasn't prepared today. You know what? Were you? I have that thought some Sundays myself. I was ready. I don't think they were. You pray. Well, the preacher ought to pray and prepare. So should you. Give me ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart to receive what it is you want me to see and do and be, God. And this isn't very popular, but I'm going to tell you what, it works. It'll work at work. It'll work at home. It'll work anywhere. And Jesus is the example, guys. He's a foot washer. I have a sermon I do called Toe Jam, and that's a whole nother deal. I would probably make some of you more nervous than you are even now. So. All right, if you don't know Him, change that. If somebody's knocking at the door, somebody's ringing the bell, do him and yourself a favor, open the door and let Him in. And if you are a Christian, you claim to be that, and you wonder why it's not working, maybe you need to stop just being a customer and get on the customer service end of the deal and say, God, use me. I don't want to sit here the rest of my life. I want to serve now and sit there, not sit here and not even understand what happened when I get to the end.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something with you about the program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a huge priority to us. And you can join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in, or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellis.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this group, those that listen today. And I pray that we wouldn't just listen, but that we would hear. And Father, some of these things are so ingrained in us as religious people that it's hard to shake. We're so used to being served, whether Jesus served us or not. We think that's just the deal. And we can pay some church some money and expect them to have a place to bury and marry us, and that's all there is to this. Father, help us see that it's way beyond a building. It's way beyond sitting. We have the opportunity to let you live in and through us. And for those who don't know you today, God, that want to change that, just let them show up empty-handed. Just say, God, I don't have anything. You know me. You know my past, everything. I'm a sinner. I've screwed up. I'm sunk. And I need your forgiveness. I need your mercy. And I got nowhere else to go. And I'm here to accept this gift that Jesus paid for. You paid my ransom. I'm here to let you make me free. I accept the forgiveness of sin that you offer, and I ask you to come live in me and through me to change me and use me, Father. Live in me and through me. Let me be a servant. Let me be a slave in your kingdom. And I'm lucky to even be that. I'm honored and blessed to have that opportunity. And Father, for those who do know you, Father, give us the opportunity and the courage, the faith to step out and to obey you and to be like you, a group that seeks and wants to see saved those that are lost. And they're everywhere, God. They're everywhere. There's no end to it. To get beyond our petty complaints and problems and pet peeves that really are just selfish nonsense compared to what people have to go through. And we claim to know you, and yet we don't share that, or no one knows that or sees that. Lord, let that change. We love you. We pray that even this day, if it's our last, that you would use us and the people around us would know that you live in us. And it would be so obvious, they'd ask us for the hope, the reason for the hope that's within us. We love you so much, and we thank you for loving us enough to give your own son, Father. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, who makes it possible. Amen.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellis.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, it's the best way to stay up to date with all the audio and video talks with Richard, post on the prayer wall, how you can join the team, and even a place where you can ask any questions you have to get straight biblical answers. Check it out, richardellis.com. Finally, we're grateful when you help us with the cost to bring you this program. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website richardellis.com. That's 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Until next time, thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.